All right, so we're diving deep into the book of Hebrews today. And using excerpts from a sermon to guide us, it should be a fascinating journey. Hebrews, you see, it's not just another book in the Bible.
Right.
It takes a very unique approach, I think,
Yeah.
looking at the entire scope of history to really get the significance of Jesus. You know, it's not enough just to know the Gospels.
Yeah.
It's about understanding that God's been communicating with humanity, and it's always been leading to this point.
That's precisely it. Yeah. It makes Hebrews so captivating, I think. You have to step back and see the grand narrative, that big picture unfolding across the whole Bible.
And this sermon goes right into this idea that God is a communicator,
Yeah.
always reaching out to us. And, you know, it's kind of mind-blowing when you think about it.
Yeah.
God has been active in human history all along, speaking, revealing himself in all these ways. But before we get into that, let's talk about Hebrews, the book itself, because it's got a kind of a mystery around it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. Unlike a lot of the New Testament letters, we don't know for sure who wrote it or even who it was intended for exactly. It adds another layer to it all.
Why so secretive? Was it anonymous, you know, for safety? Or was it meant to have a broader appeal? You know, so it wouldn't be seen as just for one group.
That makes you wonder, yeah. All great questions. Really sets the stage for digging deeper. And speaking of digging deeper, there's a unique structure in Hebrews, isn't there? It doesn't just focus on Jesus's life and teachings like the Gospels. It starts by exploring how God has been communicating throughout history, way before Jesus even walked the earth.
It's like setting the stage, you know, showing us the backdrop for where Jesus's story unfolds and highlighting this idea that God has been patiently reaching out to humanity through, you know, prophets and covenants and all these different means. This is particularly interesting when you think about the historical context, especially for the you know, Jewish audience at the time.
For sure, they were deeply rooted in tradition and rituals, and here comes this book, reframing it all. You know, it's like, hey, look, God has been guiding you this whole time
Through all of it.
through all of this, the laws, the events, the stories, it's all connected.
It connects to something I found really thought-provoking in the sermon. You know, there's this whole branch of philosophy
Yeah.
called existentialism where thinkers like Kierkegaard, Sartre, Nietzsche, they really struggled with the meaning of life, often feeling like it was all random chaos.
Right.
But Hebrews, it offers a completely different perspective.
Yeah, doesn't it? Instead of us just left to figure it out in a meaningless universe, Hebrews reveals this purpose, a plan, a direction. It's woven through history. It's saying God's communication, it's not random, it's intentional. It's not about us trying to find meaning in the void. It's about recognizing the meaning that's already there, embedded in creation. You know, and revealed through God's words and actions.
That's a powerful way to put it.
Yeah.
It flips the whole existential thing on its head, and it leads to the central idea in the sermon, the concept of God as you know, the ultimate communicator. He's not some you know, distant, silent observer.
Right.
He's actively involved, constantly speaking.
Yeah.
And you see that through the whole Bible.
Exactly. And it takes us a step further, too. Presenting Jesus as the culmination of that communication, the climax of God's message, everything from creation to the prophets leading up to this moment.
That's a great way, like a symphony, everything building to this incredible culmination. And the sermon even mentions these things called dispensations, which is a way of understanding the different, you know, periods of God interacting with humanity.
Think of it like chapters in a book or acts in a play. Each dispensation is a distinct era. Right? It has its own characteristics, its own purpose, but it all contributes to the overall narrative pointing toward Jesus's arrival.
So it's like God was working through these different stages,
Yeah.
you know, revealing himself in ways that were appropriate for the time, always with the end goal in mind. It's so intricate and
Absolutely.
thought out.
Highlights the magnitude of what God did. Sending Jesus. It wasn't just random, last-minute decision. This was the culmination of a plan, been in motion since the very beginning.
So that raises a big question for me, and I'm sure our listeners wondering this too. If Jesus is the solution, Why not just send him right away? What is the point of all the other dispensations? You know, all the other ways God interacted before Jesus? Seems like such a long and winding road.
Fascinating question, and one that Hebrews addresses directly.
Mm-hmm.
The sermon highlights the idea that humanity needed to be prepared for Jesus' arrival. We had to go through the other stages to really grasp how much we need a Savior.
Yeah.
We had to demonstrate, like, we can't get it right on our own. Live up to God's standards. You know, no matter how hard we try, it's like we needed to hit rock bottom to appreciate the lifeline that Jesus offers.
Okay, so it's not just about God waiting for the right time.
Right.
It's about humanity needing time to, you know, to really understand the depth of our need for redemption.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to experience, you know, the consequences of our brokenness, of our separation from God, to really fully embrace the gift that Jesus brings.
Powerful insight.
It is.
Really sets the stage for understanding the rest of the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, as we're exploring this idea of humanity needing time to understand our need for Jesus, it makes me think about the Old Testament. It becomes this incredible foreshadowing, doesn't it? Like leading up to his arrival.
Yeah.
All these little hints that make sense when you've seen the whole picture.
It's like those Easter eggs in movies. Like, little hints that you only get later.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the sermon really emphasizes how Hebrews uses the Old Testament to show how God was preparing for this moment.
Right.
For Jesus.
It's deliberate.
It's not just random stories and laws.
Uh-huh.
It's a plan unfolding from the beginning.
And it's not just a vague sense of anticipation either, right? There are specific examples woven throughout the Old Testament that directly connect to Jesus. Like, the sermon talks about the tabernacle and the temple, these physical structures that were, you know, central to how the Israelites worshiped.
And what's fascinating is that Hebrews points out how those structures were actually foreshadowing Jesus as the ultimate dwelling place, the place where humanity connects with God.
So they were like tangible representations of...
It's as if those physical buildings were pointing towards something much deeper.
Yeah, a deeper, more profound connection.
A spiritual reality that would be fully revealed in Jesus.
That would eventually be made possible through Jesus. That's pretty amazing.
It is. And then there's that whole sacrificial system.
Right.
Those animal sacrifices, you know, so crucial for the Israelites. They weren't just some random ritual.
Mm.
Hebrews points out they were pointing toward the ultimate sacrifice.
Jesus.
Jesus, the one that would truly atone for humanity's sin.
So it's like all those sacrifices were kind of like placeholders.
Right. They fulfilled a need at the time, but they were ultimately pointing towards a greater solution.
Yeah.
That would come later. They were symbols.
Yeah.
Representations of a deeper spiritual reality that would be fully realized in Jesus. And remember that mysterious figure from Genesis? Melchizedek? The one who was a priest, but he wasn't even from the tribe of Levi.
Yes. Melchizedek. To be honest, I'm a little fuzzy on the details. Okay. Remind me, who was he and why is he important here?
Sure. So Melchizedek appears in Genesis 14. He's described as a priest of God Most High.
Cool.
And blesses Abraham and receives a tithe from him. Which is interesting because this happens before the Levitical priesthood is even established.
Yeah, right, right. Because the Levites were, you know, the tribe that was supposed to be the priests, right?
Exactly. So Melchizedek is this outlier, a priest outside the traditional structure.
Okay. So how does he connect to Jesus?
Well, Hebrews uses Melchizedek as a type of Christ.
Okay.
Showing how Jesus' priesthood is also unique and superior to the Levitical priesthood. Jesus wasn't from the tribe of Levi either, yet he's described as our eternal high priest.
Right.
Hebrews argues that Jesus' priesthood is modeled after Melchizedek. Priesthood that's not based on, like, genealogy or lineage, but on something far greater, something eternal and unchanging.
So it's like Melchizedek was foreshadowing this different kind of priesthood that would be fully realized in Jesus.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so crucial to understand the Old Testament when we're trying to grasp the significance of Jesus. It's not just some, you know, ancient history book.
Yeah.
It's the foundation. It's like trying to understand the sequel to a movie, but without having seen the original. You might get some of the plot, but you're missing the depth.
Right. That's a great analogy.
Yeah. So Hebrews isn't just telling us about Jesus. It's showing us how the entire Old Testament has been pointing towards him all along. It's this incredible tapestry woven together over centuries, culminating in the person of Jesus Christ.
Okay, so we've talked about the author, the mystery, and how the Old Testament points towards Jesus, but the sermon also delves into something that I think is really important. The challenges that the original readers of Hebrews might have been facing.
Yes, and this is where it gets really practical and relevant for us today. Many of those early Jewish Christians who were reading Hebrews, they were facing persecution, pressure to abandon their faith. They were tempted to go back to what was comfortable.
Yeah, they were like, this Jesus thing is great, but it's getting tough.
It wasn't just about difficulty, though. It was dangerous. Remember, this is a time when following Jesus could cost you everything, your family, your social standing, your life.
Wow, yeah.
The stakes were high.
So how does Hebrews address those challenges?
Well, the sermon highlights some key passages. They offer comfort and strength. For example, it talks about the Hall of Faith in chapter 11.
Yeah.
This incredible list of heroes from the Old Testament.
Right.
Who faced incredible obstacles and remained faithful.
Yeah.
It's like Hebrews is saying, look, you're not alone. People have gone through tough times before and they relied on God. You can do the same.
It's like those people are cheering us on, right? Yeah. You know, those faithful men and women who ran the race and finished strong.
A testament to perseverance and faithfulness.
Yeah.
And then there's this beautiful passage about Jesus being our high priest.
Yeah.
You know, the one who sympathizes with our weaknesses.
Yeah.
This is so important because it means we have someone who gets it.
Yeah.
Who understands.
Yeah.
What we're going through. Who's walked the path of suffering himself.
It's like having a friend who's already climbed the mountain and can guide you.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Someone who knows the dangerous paths and where the pitfalls are.
Perfect analogy. And Hebrews also talks about perseverance,
yeah.
You know, not giving up.
Yeah.
Even when things get tough. It's a reminder that the Christian life is a marathon,
mm-hmm.
not a sprint. We need to keep running towards the finish line.
But what if you stumble or fall? What if you feel like you've messed up too many times?
Yeah, it's a really important point, and it's where grace comes in.
Yeah.
Hebrews reminds us that we're not saved by our own efforts.
Mm.
By being perfect,
yeah,
but by God's grace. It's unearned and undeserved, and it's always there for us, no matter how many times we mess up.
So it's like a safety net. Even when we mess up, we're still covered.
In a way, yes.
Yeah.
But it's not just about avoiding punishment. It's about having a relationship with God, built on his love and forgiveness, not our performance.
It's liberating, isn't it?
It is. It's...
You know, it's not about trying to earn God's favor. It's about resting in the fact that we already have it through Jesus. It's about embracing the freedom that comes from knowing we're loved and accepted for who he is, not what we do.
Beautifully said. And it's a message that can transform our lives, free us from the burden of trying to be good enough, and empower us to live, you know, with confidence and joy, even when things are hard.
So we've covered a lot here, you know, exploring the unique aspects of Hebrews, its message, the challenges, all that. But as we wrap up this part, I'm curious, what's the one thing that's really sticking with you? You know, the nugget of wisdom, the insight you'll take away from this.
It's tough to pick just one.
Yeah.
But what really resonates with me is the idea that we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. Hebrews reminds us that we're part of this grand story that God has been weaving throughout history, a story that, you know, spans generations, cultures, and it all culminates in Jesus. It gives our lives meaning and purpose.
It's like we're all actors in this play,
right?
Each playing our part in God's story of love and redemption.
Exactly. It's pretty amazing, isn't it, to know that our lives have significance. We're not just living for ourselves, but for something much greater.
And we're not alone in this journey. We have each other, this incredible community of believers walking the same path, supporting each other. We have the examples of those who have gone before us, those faithful men and women, you know. And most importantly, we have Jesus, our high priest, who understands our struggles, intercedes for us, and offers us grace every step of the way.
It's a truth that can sustain us through anything. Challenges, hardship, doubt, it doesn't matter. It gives us the courage to keep going. You know, keep running that race, knowing that the finish line, the reward, is greater than anything we can imagine.
As we're getting to the end of our deep dive into Hebrews, it really hits me that this book, it's not just some old text, right?
Right.
It's speaking to us today.
Absolutely. That's what's so great about this sermon. It doesn't just explain the history and theology. It bridges that gap, you know,
yeah.
Between then and now, and helps us see how Hebrews still resonates with us.
Like the sermon talks about how Hebrews encourages us to persevere even when things get tough. And, you know, life isn't always easy, is it? We all face doubts, challenges, temptations that try to pull us away from what we know is right.
And that's where Hebrews comes in. Offer strength, encouragement, reminds us that that we're not alone in those struggles. We have Jesus, our high priest. He understands our weaknesses and actively intercedes for us. And we have the example of all those who came before us. That great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11 faced incredible hardships, but remained faithful.
I was like, they're right there with us, cheering us on. Keep going. Don't give up.
Exactly. And it's not just encouragement. Hebrews gives us practical advice, you know, for how to live out our faith, love one another, show hospitality, remember those who are imprisoned, live with integrity, generosity.
It's like a guide, but not just rules, you know?
Right.
It's grounded in Jesus, in his sacrifice and the hope of his return. It's about letting his love change how we, interact with the world.
And that's what makes it so relevant today. I mean, the world can feel hostile to faith, full of chaos and uncertainty. But Hebrews, it's like this anchor, this message of hope, reminding us that that we're grounded in something solid, something that goes beyond all the ups and downs of life.
And it challenges us to actually live out our faith,
yeah.
You know, in a real way. It's not about hiding our beliefs.
Yeah.
It's about being that light in the darkness, hope in a world that really needs it, letting our lives show, you know, what the gospel can do.
So as we wrap up our deep dive, I want to leave you with a question from the sermon. If God has been speaking all throughout history, what is he saying to you today?
That's a powerful question. What are those whispers of God in your life? You know, the challenges, the joys, the people that are shaping you, drawing you closer to him.
How will you respond to his message? How can you live out your faith?
Honor him, you know,
yeah.
And make a difference in the world around you.
These are the questions we should always be asking.
As you continue to explore Hebrews, I encourage you to really listen for God's voice. Be open to where he's leading. Let his word shape you and watch how he uses you, you know, to bring his love and his light to the world.
Remember, this deep dive was just a glimpse into Hebrews. There's so much more to discover. Keep digging. Keep exploring. And keep listening for that voice.
Because at the end of the day, that's what this journey of faith is all about. It's not just about knowing things. It's about experiencing the living God, letting his truth change us from the inside out.
Exactly. And who knows? Maybe as you keep studying, you'll find some new insight, something you never noticed before. That's the beauty of God's word. It's always there speaking to us, you know, in fresh and relevant ways.
So keep seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Keep discovering. And keep letting God speak to you through Hebrews.